You know, if God didn't do anything else for us but save us, that would be enough, wouldn't it? So he certainly is worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise this morning. I'll write the thought on the board. You maybe have thought, think this is kind of an interesting topic for a message, but you'll understand why as we go on. And by the help of the Lord, I'd like us to look at something that is very familiar to us, that we've no doubt read and heard many times. And this is, if I could say it this way, is probably more of a teaching maybe than a message, but it's what the Lord gave this morning, so I desire your prayers. So I'd like to begin with a very familiar text of Scripture. We're going to lay a foundation this morning by the help of the Lord. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter, and the 11th through the 19th verse. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Came to pass,
as he went to Jerusalem,
he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee.
As he entered into a certain village,
there met him 10 men that were leopards,
which stood afar off.
And they lifted up their voices and said,
Jesus,
Master,
have mercy on us.
When he saw them,
he said unto them,
go shew yourselves unto the priest.
And it came to pass
that
as they went,
they were cleansed.
One of them,
when he saw that he was healed,
turned back
and with a loud voice glorified God.
Fell down on his face at his feet,
giving him thanks.
And he was a Samaritan.
Jesus answered, said,
were there not 10 cleansed?
But where are the nine?
There are not found that return to give glory to God,
save this stranger.
And he said unto him,
arise,
go thy way,
thy faith has made thee whole.
So there's so much that we could learn from this, these few verses here in the Bible, this account that's been given. And by the help of the Lord, we're going to look at that, and then we're going to apply a spiritual lesson that we can get from this morning. But it's an account, no doubt, that we've read and heard many times. Maybe as we've gone through our lives, it's something that we're all familiar with. And so let's take a look at this a little bit. And it says here that came to pass as Jesus, as he was passing through Samaria, he was on his way to Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there were 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off. So that's the first thing you want to take note of. Maybe as we read through this, they were standing afar off. Why? It was because of their physical condition. At that particular time, the disease that they had, it was something that they were required to be kept apart from everybody else. They couldn't be around others. So in their condition that they had at that particular time, they had to be away from everybody else. You know, and in a natural sense, we can understand that, but don't we also recognize that what about us in a spiritual condition, right? When we think about us and us approaching God, we really should be afar off. You know what? There's nothing that any of us has done to deserve anything that God has given us. And we could, in a spiritual sense, we're kind of just like these lepers, kind of afar off and saying, Jesus, have mercy. Unworthy of anything that God has for each and every one of us. Oh, but you know that these different ones, as they stood afar off, they had a special opportunity that was given to them, just like each and every one of us has in a spiritual sense. But as they saw Jesus walking by, they recognized who he was. So even though maybe there was a far off, they were experiencing this together. You know, there's a saying, it talks about misery loves company, right? So somehow these 10 were all together. You know, they was being pushed aside. They were away from everybody else, but somehow they must have banded up together. If we can't be with anybody else, we can at least be together. And they was there together, afar off, looking on as Jesus walked by. So it says here, they were far off. So they had to keep their distance because they were forbidden by law, and it was a custom. It was the custom that they had to be far away from everybody else because there was a fear. There was concern. You got to keep your distance. I don't want what you have. You know, you think about something that we've recently experienced still going on in the world today, right? The COVID thing, you know, and when that was going on, when it was much more rampant, what'd you have to do? You say, you know, we had 6 feet apart and all these kind of things, right? It's like if somebody that you knew was contagious, you wanted to stay away from them, right? That just makes natural sense. So they were afar off. They stood afar off, and it says here, you know what? But they were afar off, but they still had some voices, didn't they? Even though they were far away, don't know how far away that was, but you know what? In this, they lifted up their voices here. It says, and they lifted up their voices. So don't know how the distance that it was, but somehow they was able to project loud enough for Jesus to be able to hear them. And you know, I take note of something in them, in their condition. They lifted up their voices together. It seemed like it wasn't just one of them that cried out. I don't know if this is something that they planned, Jesus is walking by. If they had a little meeting amongst themselves and said, well, let's all cry out together. I don't know. Maybe it was something that just happened organically, that all of them at the same time just decided, you know what, there's Jesus. He can do something for us. We're going to cry out to him. But they lifted up their voices. You know, there's something about the unity and oneness. I believe that they cried out that it was a united voice. That it was there was 10 of them, but I believe Jesus heard them all as one. You know, they're in this predicament together. So they cried out in oneness and in unity. They cried out to God. You know what? And they pleaded, have mercy on us. This is what they said. It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, I take note of something here. There, even just, you know, as we were, the brother was mentioning about our singing this morning, lifting up our voices to the Lord. You know, that makes a difference. It makes a difference if there's just one, or if there's 10 or 20 or many of us here this morning lifting up our voices together. There's a big difference. So you know what? Them lifting up their voices, it called Jesus to take note. So there's something even that we can learn from this, even that there's a blessing, there's power in unity, you know, and that's something that's supported in God's word. There's something about the unity and being together that God recognizes. There's familiar verses of scripture that we know about. There's one in 2 Corinthians. It's the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. Maybe you know it by heart, but what does it say? It said, if my people, what? Who are called by my name, will do what? Humble themselves and seek and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So he said, if my people, so, you know, there's, in other words, get together, unite together, do this together, and call on me, and I'm going to hear. You know, that's not the only one. There's another one in Matthew that talks about, in the 18th chapter of Matthew and the 19th, it talks about two and two or three. You know, when there's more than one of us together, God recognizes that. There's power in that. So we can recognize even in this situation, these lepers standing afar off, they united together to cry out to God. And God in his love and in his mercy, he heard them. Do you have that one? Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. So that so we can learn from this, uniting together with a common goal and a common cause. God, we can get God's attention just like these lepers did. So they cried out with a loud voice. It says they cried out. They lifted up their voices. I'm assuming it was loud. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So then Jesus, he heard them. He saw them. It says he saw them. And he said, he gave them some instruction. He said, go shew yourselves to the priest. So here's a little bit of background now. So if you read in the Old Testament, what you were supposed to do once you were healed of leprosy, then you were supposed to go and shew yourself to the priest. So here these 10 are standing afar off, and God gave them some instructions where he said, go shew yourselves to the priest. Now, it says here, and it came to pass that as they went, okay? So here, let's pause and think about this for a moment. Did it seem like that they had a big dialogue or discussion to ponder the instruction that they were given? They didn't seem like they said, wait a minute. Why should I go shoot? Why should I go shoot myself to the priest? You know, I'm sure they knew about what the law was and at that particular time. And wait, why would we do that? We're not even healed. It doesn't seem like they question that. So what can we learn from this? When God gives instruction, follow the instruction that he's given. Do we have to try to ponder and understand in our mind? Well, in my mind, have we ever, maybe I've been guilty. In my mind, this doesn't make sense. Does salvation make sense? Does it make sense that Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven to live in this world, to die on a cross, to live in this world and die on a cross for my sins? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. So when God gives me instruction, does it have to make sense to me? No. All I need to know is God said it, right? And if I do what he said, you know what? God will take care of the rest. So the instruction was, go to the priest. Was it really that easy for him? we'll continue reading. But he gave specific instructions. And you know what? Sometimes it seems like we try to complicate things. Why? Just do what God said to do. Right. You want to make it, it's going to be a lot better for you rather than just trying to figure. You know what? One day you make it to heaven. You get to heaven. Those things in your mind that didn't make sense, you can ask God about them then. But I kind of think that when you get there, you'll forget about those things and you won't even be worried about it. So just say, Lord, this is the instruction. I'm going to follow it. That's what we can learn from this. There was something else about then. There was a few things working together. There was a willingness that they had, and there was an obedience, right? But you know, there was something else that these lepers had to have. They had to have some faith, didn't they? They had to have some faith that, you know what? We're going to follow the instructions that Jesus gave us, and we're going to do what he said. I mean, what else? I mean, did they have some better options? There wasn't anybody else. They was already standing afar off, so it seemed like nobody else was giving them much attention. And when they cried out to God, he at least acknowledged them, and he gave them some instructions. So they had a willingness, they were obedient, and something had to take hold within themselves to say, well, I get it. That's Jesus, and if I do what he said, then I'm going to have an expectation of something happening. Yes. And that's what, you know, we understand it. There's a verse that talks about it. We can't serve God without faith. It's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, they had no promise. God didn't say, Jesus didn't specifically tell them, if you go shoe yourselves to the priest while you're on your way, you will be healed. He didn't say that. He just gave them an instruction. You know the benefit that we have? We got promises upon promises upon promises that God has guaranteed. That you want to talk about guarantee. One of the guarantees in life is the promises of God. Yeah. Anything else, there's a saying it talks about, the only other thing that's guaranteed is taxes and death, right? But you know what? The promises of God is guaranteed. If we do what God told us to do, then he'll do his part. Yeah. And we can be assured of that this morning. What God promised, he will do. So it says here in the 14th verse, and it came to pass that as they went. So in other words, there was no question about why they were doing what they were doing. But you know what? While they followed that instruction, something happened. It says as they went, they were cleansed. They were all cleansed. Something took place within them. And it wasn't just one of them. It was all of them. You know what? There's a blessing that they received, didn't it? You know, and going back to this verse about God and his promises, the highest, most sovereign reason, the writer says, that can be given for believing is that God commanded it. So that's exactly what these 10 did. God commanded them and they did it. So we can take that for, we can accept that for our own self. When we look at God's word and the things that he's instructed us to do, that God, just honor it. God said it. That's enough. I think about somebody. I don't know if it's something I heard somebody else say or if it's somewhere else, but it says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's the end of it. As they went their way, they were all cleansed. Every single one of them was cleansed. You know, do you think they realized that they were healed? Yes, they did. Here's a little bit about that disease from WebMD. It says leprosy is an infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring skin sores and nerve damage in the arms, legs, and around the body. And that some of the symptoms are a skin that's stiff, thick, or dry, growth on the skin. I'm sorry, this is just, I'm making a point here. Growth on the skin with lumps or swelling in the face or in the ears. So in other words, it was so egregious, right? A sickness, a disease, that they had to recognize that something happened. As they were going on their way, a change took place in their bodies. So it's not something where you could say, well, you know, there are times when maybe we are suffering with something and God blesses us and it takes us a little minute to realize it. I've been in that condition where, you know, you're going along, you're like, wait a minute, I had this ache or pain and God took it away. And then you begin to thank and praise God for it. But they had to take note, right? That all of them were cleansed. But there was one, see, as soon as he recognized what had taken place, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He recognized something happened within me and I need to give thanks to the one that caused it, or that was the source of it. So it says here, he not only, it says, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You know, maybe we could argue this morning that the other nine, they were thankful in their hearts. I mean, they had to have something, right? There's no way that you could have a healing from some that kind of condition and not have some kind of gratitude. So they had that in their heart. So then that was all right then. That's being grateful. That's giving thanks. I had it in my heart, see. Is that enough? No. Well, there was the one that said, you know what? Yes, I'm grateful. I'm thankful, but I got to express it. There's times we have to express what God has done. So he couldn't hold his peace. There was nothing that could have kept. There's nobody that, if somebody would have restrained him some kind of way, I'm sure he would have found out some kind of way, hollering or screaming or something to say, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad for what you've done for me. So what can we learn from this? Lord, it's good to have a heart of thanksgiving, but you know what? I need to be able to express it. I need to be able to express, Lord, what you've done for me. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. And you know what? There's a special note. It says that he was a Samaritan. So, and they make reference to seem that the other nine were Jews. So one Samaritan, one who professed a very corrupt religion. You know, the Samaritans, they didn't quite have it right. So, and, you know, and the Jews thought that their understanding and knowledge that they were superior. So here's one that didn't have the same knowledge and understanding as the others. But he's the one that turned around to give thanks. Lord, help us. Help me, Lord. Knowing by the help and by the grace of God what I know from what I've been exposed to. Help me, Lord. Jesus took note as he turned around. Jesus answering said, wait a minute. I thought I saw 10 of y'all over there. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did. No, I mean, I'm adding a little to it this morning. But hey, yeah, wait a second here. There was 10 of y'all and there's only one. Where's the other fellas? Where's the other nine? What happened to them? You know, but that one got something special. He got something greater and above and beyond what the other nine got. See, take note here. And Jesus said, where there not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? There were not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said, arise. He said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So see, he got a double blessing. He got a physical and a spiritual healing. Right? He got something greater than the others because he went back and he said, Lord, I give you thanks. I give you praise. So as we read through this account, you could say, well, what's that got to do with me? I'm fine. But what is there something that we can learn from this? One or nine? Which one are you this morning? Are you one of the one? Are you the one? Or are you part of the nine? Maybe I'll ask it in a different way. How's your thankfulness meter? You got a full tank? Maybe it's on half. Maybe it's sliding toward the empty. And I pray it's not on fumes. Be careful. Been there and done that. By the help of the Lord, learn from it. Hopefully you only get stuck on the side of the road one time when you're running your car on fumes. You don't want your thankfulness meter to be running on fumes. So as we go through our lives, here's the connection here. We've talked about this before, natural tendencies and how they affect spiritual tendencies. Right? They one follows the other. If you're a certain way naturally in life, more than likely that's going to carry over into spiritual things. So how are our daily interactions with one another? Wherever we are, whether we at home, at work, at school, wherever we go, how is our interactions one with another? Are we setting an example for the world around us? You know, we live in a world where people do things for us all the time, right? And in some instances, the things that people do for us, they're required to do, right? You go through a line or you know, you go to the store and you go to the cashier and they check your groceries and bag them. Do you express anything to them? Why should I? They get paid to do it. Right? I mean, so you could have that attitude, right? But you know what? We want to be an example to the world around us. I thank you. Thank you for ringing up my groceries. Thank you for letting me spend money. I mean, it's a cycle that goes on. Thank you. Thank you for your care. You put my frozen things with the frozen things and you put the cans and the boxes together. Just thank you. It's the job, but thank you. Somebody comes and bring you a meal when you're sitting down at a restaurant. Thank you for your care. You know why is that important? Again, we talked about it. Things naturally that carry over into spiritual life. You know, and the thing is for us, as we set an example for those around us, this is something we can do all the time versus our world, which tends to focus on it. I know it's a day, but we'll just say it kind of turns into sort of like a week of Thanksgiving because it's kind of a build up to it. But you know what? It's something we should have with us all the time. And that's how we can set the example in the world around us. I think about something that I'm not lifting myself up. I God is good and great and wonderful, and it's all because of him. But something I started doing at home some time ago that I recognized recently, that my children do a better job at it than me now. You know, our wife will prepare meals for us in the kitchen, and then when it's time to eat, say, thank you for doing this for us. And that's an encouragement to me. They beat me saying it most of the time now. Help me, Lord. I don't want to forget. I appreciate it. I'm grateful for it. You know, it's something we can carry thanksgiving all the time. You know, and it's important to give thanks for these things in a natural sense. But it's vitally important for us for the spiritual blessings that God bestows upon us. And you know what? We need God to help us to be able to recognize them. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school in terms of recognizing God's blessings and the benefits that he bestows upon us, even in difficulty. There was a specific example that was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, and I'm sorry if you missed it, but it was just being able to recognize, even in a dire situation. Somebody was in a dire situation where they were imprisoned, and they yet found something to thank God for, to give thanks. And the blessing and the benefit is, if we're already doing it all the time, then it's just going to naturally carry over as we recognize God's spiritual blessings upon us all the time. And again, if it was nothing else, that even just recognizing what he did, just the benefits that we have of salvation, if that was it, if that was the only thing that he ever did for us, we could still be like one of the one, right? If he didn't, but God in his love and in his kindness, he has so much more for us, doesn't he? And you know what? This was, I believe, mentioned this morning as well. You want to help cultivate and maintain a growing relationship with God? It's being like that one. And recognizing and always, Lord, I give you thanks. You've been so good. If we keep that, I believe there's an expression that was mentioned this morning that thanksgiving and discouragement, they can't occupy the same space. So if I'm always giving thanks for something, then I automatically, it's a step, it's like putting your foot on the devil, see? See, just get, because I'm already, it's something that I'm doing that's going to continue to grow and maintain and prosper my relationship with God. You know, even in our communion with God, we give thanks. As we, when we bow before God and our communication with him, as we bring our burdens and our needs and our requests to him, I say it all the time, Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse.
Be careful for nothing.
But in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why is this important? Maybe sometimes by the time we finish giving thanks to God for all the things that he has done for us, sometimes some of those requests that we have may not be as important. That's not to say we don't have requests. We're going to have requests. We live in this life, in this world, and there's so much things that are going on. We're going to have requests. But when we offer our requests with thanksgiving, it changes things a little bit. We made mention of this earlier about having a thankfulness within our hearts. But you know, there's a blessing and there's a benefit when we express that thanksgiving publicly. You know, the benefit and the blessing is that you get to hear it again. Sometimes, you know, we can have things in our heart, but when we hear them, there's like a reinforcing that takes place. And the benefit and the blessing is not only for you. I want to be encouraged too. And everybody else does as well. How are you going to hold that for yourself? I want to praise God with you. So it can be a benefit for all of those around us as well. So that's why it's important. When God does something for you, thank him. And let us know about it because we want to know. Because we can be encouraged. We don't know the different things. Sometimes, you know, we don't have to express it. Maybe it's specific things. But when you know that maybe you've been in a battle and in a struggle and God has blessed you, you encourage somebody else because they may be going through something similar. Maybe it's not exactly the same thing. But they can be encouraged to know God was faithful to brother so-and-so. God was faithful to sister so-and-so. And I'm going to hold on because I know he'll be faithful to me as well. He's no respecter of persons. You know, I know we endeavor to do these things. I'm acknowledging, Lord, I can do better. Help me, Lord. So if you're doing it, keep doing it. If you're the one, keep being a one. If you're part of the nine, do better by the help and by the help, grace of God. You know, and it's just something just be careful in the daily things of life. I have to catch myself sometimes. Maybe start to complain a little bit. Yes. Guilty. And I have to say, Lord, thank you. I have to look at, Lord, you've been so good. Always something to thank you for. There's a song, it says, give thanks. And there's a few phrases in it that's repeated over and over and over and over again. But it's by Henry Smith. It says, give thanks with a grateful heart. That even makes you ponder, right? So that means that I can give thanks with an ungrateful heart. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, as I'm giving thanks to you, giving praise to you, that it's with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. If there was nothing else to give him thanks for, I can give him thanks for that. But then there's so much more. There's so much more. And then it repeats that same stanza. Give thanks with a grateful heart. You know, in songs, when the writers, they were trying to just emphasize the point over and over and over again. And that's the essence of this song. Just making the point again. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And there's six lines. And this is in this song, it's repeated over and over and over again, emphasizing the point of how good God has been. And about giving him thanks with a grateful heart and recognizing in our weakness, we can be strong. In our blessed are the poor in spirit, right? And we can be rich. And we can always be thankful and recognize, Lord, you've been so good. Yeah. Recognize God's blessings and his faithfulness that he has bestowed upon each and every one of us. So a question this morning, one or nine? You know, we make choices throughout our day, every day, and we choose whether we're one or we're nine. By the help and by the grace of God, I want to be a one. I appreciate your prayers and your attention this morning.